And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't usually bring this with me to the sanctuary. I hope nobody finds it disrespectful at all. I want to talk about our gospel lesson this morning, Luke chapter 20. Tough passage, right? Many people read that verse of the Bible, that passage of the Bible, and I've literally had people say, I wish that wasn't in the Bible. We're going to talk about why in a little bit. But what's funny is, so there's the challenging part, but there is a wonderful promise, and we're going to get there. But as we work our way there, I want to illustrate something here that's very important for us to grasp. What is today's date? November 9, 2025. So every day is a point in time. How long does a person live? 70 or 80 years. Are you ready for a different answer? Forever. You do think that, right? We came to be on a particular day, but you live forever. This body doesn't live forever, but you do. The word for that is immortal. Immortal literally means deathless. You're born, you never die. This body does, but you will eventually be given a new body that will never die, and you will live forever. It's hard to remember that. We know it, but we forget because death is before our eyes. But everyone in this sanctuary, every person you've ever met, every person who has ever lived, lives forever. Now, that's called being immortal. I want to notice one other thing. If you take a point in time and you move forever that way, but what if you had lived forever backwards? There's only one. That would be God. You guys had a long delay. I was wondering, I put him to sleep already. I don't know. Maybe they don't know. I should point this out. That, I want to distinguish these words. Immortal means deathless. Eternal means forever, frontwards and backwards. God has always been. The Bible speaks of him. He who is, who was, and who is to come. That said of Jesus, that said of God, only he is like that. Now, the reason I'm thinking this is that in Luke chapter 20, Jesus is confronted by the Sadducees. The Sadducees, it's in the text, we know it from other sources as well, but the Sadducees say there's no such thing as life after death. I've always thought that's the most bizarre religious view you can possibly have. What is a religion that doesn't believe in life after death? What is a religion that doesn't believe in eternity, eternal life, or eternal consequences? If you have a religion that doesn't believe in that, your entire religion becomes live a good life here. That's woefully insufficient. Now, I want to get that you live forever. You have a point in time. Where did you begin? Yeah, so I heard an answer there and I heard an answer here. Very often we say you began at your birthday. You actually began at your conception. That, I heard that from the back. The conception is the beginning of you as an existent being, and you live from there forward. Now, the Sadducees ask a question, and I want us to kind of look at their question for a minute, because what they're doing is they don't believe in the resurrection, and so they ask Jesus a question, and I want us to think about their tone. Because you guys know full well that sometimes people ask a question and it's an honest question. They're saying, hey, I have this question about a topic. I'm wondering what you think about it. That's a real question. That's an honest question. Sometimes people ask a question that's mocking. Right? The question means to say, I'm going to ask a question that's going to show holes or contradictions in your argument. I'm going to show how silly your position is. Now, they're right. They quote the Bible. In the Old Testament, the biblical practice was if a couple was married and the husband died and they'd never had a child, that the man's brother should marry the woman and produce children. That was for her protection in the future. That was a social welfare good, is what that was. That was God providing for his people. And so they said, they're taking that good and wonderful thing and saying, well, a guy was married and he died childless, and he had six brothers, and the next one, and the next one, and the next, all of them married, or all of them died. And so they're saying, you know, there's no such thing as a resurrection, but Jesus and the resurrection, who's she married to? Is that an honest question, or is that mocking? It's mocking. Now, here's the beauty of it. Jesus receives questions from people all the time, and he answers patiently. He answers biblically. He tells us the truth, and he does it lovingly. He always wants people to hear the truth, and so he's going to say some things. But before we look at his thing, I want to admit something here. If you ask me a snarky question, do you know how I usually respond? With a snarky answer, isn't that right? You know what I'm saying to some of you, do that? Right? Your ego gets in the way. And you think, this person came at me with a bad attitude, I'm going to give them some bad attitude. I come from the Northeast, I can do bad attitude all day. That's not what he says. But here's what people don't want to hear. Jesus says, the people of this age marry, but those who are worthy of taking part in the age to come will neither marry or be given in marriage. Now, it's a tough passage. I want to back up and say a couple things. Marriage is good, generally. General rule, right? Marriage is good. God invented marriage. Genesis 2, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will create a helper for him. So God established marriage. God esteems marriage. God values marriage. Jesus isn't in any way speaking against marriage at all. He's just differentiating something. He said, the people of what? This age marry and are given in marriage. Two important words, this age. That means the way things are right now. The way things they are in this life. Is marriage good in this life? Now, let's be honest. Sometimes, right? We want to get that too. I want to say a couple other things about marriage. In a church, many people are married and some people are single. I want to acknowledge this. Some people are single because God has called them to a life of being single. Did you know that? Some people, that's God's map for them to be single forever. Like St. Paul, if that's your calling, then receive that. If you're single and looking for a spouse, then you're seeking the will of the Lord. Some people are single today, but you eventually won't be single in the right timing and with the right person. I want to say one thing. I said that marriage is good. I should add this. Being happily married is good. Some people are badly married. My children have heard their entire lives long, it's better to be single than badly married. And I see nodding heads. At 8 o'clock, somebody said, amen. That's a stronger response than I was hoping for. But anyway, Jesus is saying this. In this life, God created marriage. He's not speaking against marriage. He's saying it belongs in this realm. It's good. It's established by God. It's esteemed by God. It's blessed by God. Being happily married, other than salvation, is often the greatest blessing you'll ever have in your life. Right? And even good marriages have rough patches. Right? So he says the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. And here's the part that people don't like. He says, and those considered worthy of taking part in the age to come. You see it? This age, if he says this age, he's differentiating it from something else. And he says in the next verse, there's an age to come. And what he's saying is that the age to come is different. And the reason I've literally had people say to me, I wish that wasn't in the Bible, because what are they saying? They're saying, I was hoping we'd be married forever. Oh, that's a nice romantic thought. Some people even teach that you're married for time and eternity. That's not in the Bible. In fact, it's directly contradicted by the Bible. There's no such thing. Marriage was established for this age. It exists in this age. When you get to heaven, you're going to see a lot of people other than your spouse, and you'll have lots to do and rejoice about, right? But here's what happens. We are so tied to this life, we're so tied to the way it functions now, that whenever you hear that there's not marriage in heaven, it sounds like a deprivation, doesn't it? It sounds like if I'm married, if I'm happily married now, and if I'm not married in heaven, it sounds like something got taken away. What Jesus is really saying is that in the age to come, there are blessings that you can't imagine that make much of this life fade away. And here's the promise. I think people read that verse and they think, I wish that verse wasn't there. I wanted to pester my spouse forever. Well, I don't know if that's what they're thinking, but... Because Jesus says, in that age, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage, but verse 36, and they can no longer die. That's that. That's the promise he's really talking about. That age is different from this age. That age is wonderfully blessed, so much so that you actually won't miss this age. And you'll never die. That's the promise. Now, Jesus quotes a fascinating Old Testament verse. And I always love this because I'm not making this up. I've literally read Bible commentators who have said this is one of the weakest arguments Jesus ever made. And I always think, which commentator gets to address whether Jesus had a good argument or not? I read it this way. If Jesus has a way of interpreting the Bible, he's probably right. Right? Seems like a radical approach. But because he's talking to the Sadducees, they say there's no such... In other words, they would draw a hard line. There's a hard stop. You're born, you die, that's it. Jesus says, in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. What's he saying? He's saying that when God identifies himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he's speaking about those men as if they're a present reality. Do you hear it? That's what he's saying. He's not saying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those long dead guys that are rotting in the ground. Not saying that. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who are, guess what? Alive. That's what he's saying. God is not the God of the dead, the God of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive with God right now. Now, here's the lovely part of it. You have gone to funerals of loved ones. Where are they? With God. They're alive right now because Jesus said so. Now, here's the beauty. Jesus didn't just say it, he guaranteed it. We're in Luke chapter 20. This verse takes place in Holy Week. Holy Week, right? Holy Week means he's entered the city. The Hosanna is in the highest. He's headed to the cross. And he says, you will live forever with God in the age to come, which transcends the age you live in, and can never die. And here's the proof. He's going to die and rise. Right? This is guaranteed by Easter Sunday. That's your guarantee. The Lord Jesus is dead and buried and risen and coming, and so all are alive to him. Not all are saved, but all are alive to him. And the ones you know who left in the Lord, they're with him now. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.